As you can see, this morning I want to talk about Vision 2017. But I cannot just jump into that without explaining what we did in 2016. In 2016, we spent a lot of time focusing on transformation. That is not to say that we're done with that, but that is a block we put down, and I pray that we continue in our transformation journey as long as God gives us life. Amen. In that year, 2016, what we did is we went into family groups and split into family groups that were manageable in the neighborhood, in relationship with one another. We also started the one another relationships. And I pray that that is something you will embrace and work on and get the kind of person that can really help you as you walk with God. Amen? So how do we link that onto 2017? We link that onto 2017 by understanding that yes, we're working on transformation. Yes, we go into family groups. Yes, we have one another relationships, but it's work in progress, and that cannot be done unless we remain in the vine. In other words, we cannot do all these things we're trying to aspire to accomplish if we are not connected to God. It's not a work of, as a human being, you cannot do anything without God. If you think it's not true, read John 15, the whole chapter. It explains to you how we're so connected to God. In fact, in John 15 verse 5, it says, without me, I paraphrase that, without me, you cannot do anything. In other words, this year more than ever, we would like to encourage us as a congregation to value your time with God. Amen. Not in a generic sense of I read the Bible and I pray. From a perspective of how do you hear God speak to you? What do you need to do different? How does God move you to connect with Him and overcome whatever is on your plate? It's a daily battle, and we have to understand that. Because we understand that, we don't want you to just think that here we go with another vision. We want it to be real to you, to your life, in a way that you sense God, hear God, and feel God. We don't want you to come to just a corporate worship, but we also want you to have private victories in your worship with God. Hence, we come up with remain in the vine. In other words, remain with God. Without God, you cannot get those victories we are looking to accomplish in life. There are many classes that will be coming your way, but ultimately, you've got to do your private victory. Amen? Amen? The next thing that we want to continue with is our second, and this is the second slide I'll deal with before my brothers come ahead and continue, is get great one another relationships. Here's a fact, that even though God knows that we need Him, and that's where we must all begin, He gives us families to belong to. That's right. He gives us people to belong to. That way, we can now begin to do the spiritual battle with people that can sympathize, empathize from where we sit, and walk through that and have great relationships. Amen? These relationships are not controlling. These relationships are not micromanaging. These relationships inspire God in one another. We inspire one another to being godly. Does that make sense? So then, I would like to read here. It says, a new command I give you, love one another as I've loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Church, we need to embrace the one another relationships. People that you hang out with and talk through life issues. It is easy to talk with someone, to talk about certain things, but the truth is that if you don't talk about issues in your life, you take them somewhere. You either take them to food, take them to shopping, take them to the internet. You cope. That is not how God created us. He says we are body of Christ. We walk together. Find a way to start developing those relationships in your family groups and other places so that the family of God can show that it's truly of God. Does that make sense? I want to put a caveat on that. I hope and pray that you can begin to invite people in your homes and have one another relationships as well. That may not go too far. Someone else will talk about that. The key point about this particular issue is that we don't want to walk away from that. We need one another relationships. We'll spend more time on that in February. Amen. We'll discuss that deeply and we'll develop that idea. But today, our vision as we start 2017, remain in the vine, connect with one another. God bless you. I'll pass it on to Steve. You want to take that?
Thank you, Steve. Amen. Okay. Y'all seen this before? We've talked about this before. This is what we've also been working on in 2016, which is to make sure that our church has a multi-generational, healthy ecosystem. Okay, and that's in the Bible. No, that's not in the Bible. But the concept is in the Bible, right? That we love one another, like Steve just said. And we want each part of our church to be spiritually healthy. So we start with the middle schoolers. We have any of those in here? Okay, one or two. Yeah, that's good. Do we have any teens in here? Okay. We have any campus in here? We have any singles in here? Do we have any marrieds in here? Okay. And the idea is we want every part of the church to be spiritually healthy because we're all connected, right? The middle schoolers become teens. The teens become campus. The campus becomes singles. In many cases, the singles get married. They have children, and it starts all over again, right? And we want the people to be able to pass through these groups, these stages in life, and to be spiritually healthy. If one of these groups was spiritually unhealthy, it would be like a flat tire or a place in your tire that's flat and you're going around and clunk, and you're going around and clunk. And we don't want that to happen. We don't want a part of our church to be clunky. We want every part of our church to be spiritually healthy. And for people and parents too, the parents of children of these ages, we want it to be a healthy spiritual experience. So that's our goal. That's been our goal this year. And that's why we've had, campus-led services and teen-led services and single-led services and old folk-led services And we're going to have, I was baby boomers, but I exaggerate. And we're going to have a millennial-led service in the near future. And we're going to keep doing this to make sure that all parts of our church are plugged in, connected, spiritually healthy, and working together, as the video said. Amen? Okay. Well, that was the fun part. Now we're going to get a little more serious. So turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Okay, something new that we want to start focusing on this year, in addition to the multi-generational theme that we've had, is to talk about diversity and to make sure that our church remains diverse and that we can reach out to all parts of our community. I mean, that's what this slide represents. I don't know if you can read all the words, but it refers to the different ethnic groups in our community. Africans and African Americans, Asians and Asian Americans, Europeans and white Americans, Latino and Latino Americans, the different groups that exist in Gwinnett County that we want to reach out to. And if you look around, our church is diverse. We have a lot of diversity here, but we want to maintain that. And we want to, as we reach out into the community, we want to be reaching out to all groups and not just groups that are like us. Amen? Let's read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and stranger to the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God and in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off, and peace to those who are near. Through him we have access to one Spirit, to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Now this passage talks about hostility. The dividing wall of hostility. Paul, in his time, is talking about Jews and Gentiles, two ethnic groups that had trouble being united in the early church. And that dividing wall of hostility still exists in the world, right? You can look anywhere in the world and you can see hostility, dividing walls between groups. And we have it here in our country too, right? There's a lot of hostility in the world. And you can see it. You can see it in the news. There's lots of hostility. You know, but in many cases, it's because of hostility between different groups. Suspicion, distrust, you know, historical issues that cause division, cause hostility. We see that. We see that along racial lines, like between black and white or these other groups here. We see that hostility. But the Bible here says that Jesus kills that hostility. That his blood, his death on a cross, brings us together. Whatever background we might have, whatever our upbringing, our heritage, our identity, whatever culture we come from, Jesus brings us and makes us one in the body of Christ. And that's a wonderful thing. That's a terrific promise. That's a great image that we can see, that's what we want to be here in the church. You know, we want to be the light of the world. We want to be a city set on a hill to where we can overcome these kind of issues that tend to cause hostility in the world. And we can be united. As it says here, we can be fellow citizens, members of God's household. We can be one in the body of Christ. That's what we want to hold up. That's our vision. That's what we want to focus on more and more this year. Because, you know, sometimes we can bring that hostility into the church. Right? It can come with us from our past. We can see things in the news that stir it back up. You know, that hostility can come into the church. You know, sometimes there's a undercurrent. You know, sometimes we still have some of those suspicions, some of that mistrust. And sometimes it's not an undercurrent. If you go on Facebook, sometimes it's an overcurrent. And we're arguing with fellow disciples on Facebook about things. You know, and that's what we want to go beyond that, get beyond that, become where we are, as it says here, one. Where we are one body, one, you know, one household, one kingdom, where we can be united. And so that's what we want to do this year. And it might be challenging to talk about some of these things. It will be challenging to talk about some of these things. But that's what we want to do. We want to be that light of the world. We want to be people that we love each other. And then we can reach out. You know, then it becomes easier to reach out. And we can reach out to all kinds of people. We can reach out to people different than us. Because we know in our fellowship, we've become one. We've become united. We can bridge those divides and work out those kind of issues and trust each other and love each other. And thus we can offer hope to the world that Jesus has a solution. Amen? Amen. How am I doing? I'm doing okay. Okay. Now, another thing that we want to emphasize more in 2017, and Mike and Tony are actually going to talk about this some later in the service, but we want to talk about serving in our community. You know, reaching out and helping those who need help, whether it's the poor, whether it's the elderly, whether it's school children who need help. We want to reach out more in the community. And you can do that. We're going to, Tony and and Mike are going to talk about doing that on in an organized way as a church and some of our family groups. But this is something we can also do individually. You know, your neighbor has a need. You know, reach out and help. A coworker has a need. Reach out and help. Another student where you're at school has a need. Reach out. Help. Serve. Get more involved. Be willing to help people. This takes time. It takes sacrifice. But, you know, that's what we want to be, the sort of the spear of our evangelism, is we are reaching out and serving and helping people. And, you know, as we do that, as we serve, as we help, as we are like Jesus, then evangelism becomes a natural thing. You know, I'm doing this because of Jesus. And we can draw in other people, and they'll be, you know, want to help, because people want to help. They want to help needs in their community. And it just becomes a natural opportunity to talk about God, to talk about your faith, you know, to invite them to a family group activity where you're going to serve the poor. It can become the most natural way to evangelize. Or when you're serving someone, you know, then, you know, maybe their need goes deep enough beyond just food or whatever, you can actually start sharing the Bible with them to help their need. And that draws them to Jesus. So that's what, you know, we serve, and then that naturally leads as we evangelize. And as we do that, we will see people baptized. We will see people make Jesus Lord, want to follow Jesus, have their sins washed away, like we just read in the last passage. And amen. That's our goal for this year. So that's our vision on those things. And then Alan is going to come up next.
Okay, we'll find out if I can operate a clicker without my wife's help. Okay. This is a familiar passage. We've talked about it a lot in the last year. We've talked about wanting to produce in our congregation a culture of an Acts 2 culture, right? A culture like the early church, because there's some great things going on in that culture. I'm going to read a couple of slides worth of scripture here, and then I'm going to go back and zero in on a couple of parts of it. Starting in verse 41, Acts 2, 41. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Okay, and I'm going to back up a slide, just one slide, because I'm going to talk about this part. I don't think I have a laser. Okay, but so I'm going to talk about the part where it talks about the four things they were devoted to. And you know, again, we've talked about these things before, but what I want to do here is connect them to our theme this year, which is remain in the vine. Okay? So we're going to talk about the four things they were devoted to, and I'm going to really talk about them as three things. But they were devoted to these things, and then as a result of that, they were fed through the vine, and they grew, and they had this growth. He starts out and talks about them being devoted to the apostles' teaching. You know, we all know that we ought to read the scriptures, right? And that's how we get to know God, and that's something how we learn what God wants us to obey. You know, we talked last week in our Kings class about the expectations God gave to the kings in Deuteronomy 17, verses 18 and 19. He talks about this. He says, when he takes the throne of his kingdom, he is to write for himself on a scroll a copy of this law taken from that of the priests who are Levites. It is to be with him, and it is to be read. He is to read it all the days of his life, so that he may learn to revere the Lord his God and to follow carefully all the words of this law and all these decrees. So what was the reason the king was supposed to read the scriptures every day of his life? He says, so that he may learn to revere the Lord his God. and that so he may learn to obey, follow carefully all the words of the law. And I think, you know, how about us? Do those apply to us too? You know, if we want to know God and learn to revere God, where do we get that? Reading the Scriptures. And he called the kings of Israel to read it every day of his life. How about us? You know, if we're going to be devoted to the apostles' teaching, that's what it's going to look like. We're going to be reading it, and we're not just reading it to get information. We're not just reading it to check something off of a list. We're trying to get to know God, trying to be moved to know Him, to revere Him, and therefore to learn how to please Him, to obey Him. We don't want to be like the Jews Jesus was talking to in John chapter 5, verses 39 and 40. There he tells them, he says, "You diligently study the Scriptures because you think by them you possess eternal life. These are the Scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life." We don't want to be that way, reading the Bible over and over and over, but really never getting to know God. Okay? When you come to the Scriptures, come to it with the question in your mind, What am I to learn about God? What can I see about God here? What does this show me about God? And what does it show me about what God wants from me? So we want to be devoted to the apostles' teaching in that way. And then we want to talk about, I'm going to combine the next two. They were devoted to the fellowship and breaking of bread. You know, I think when he's talking about the breaking of bread here, he's talking about sharing meals in their homes. Because later on he does talk about they broke bread in their homes with glad and sincere hearts. Same terminology. So I think he's talking here about fellowship that extends into our homes. So I'll ask you this. How is your hospitality in your house? When's the last time you had a brother or a sister or a family into your home for a meal? You know, that's a great thing to do. Bring people into your home. It's something about sharing a meal together bonds hearts together, bonds people together. And, you know, it's all over the Bible. It's a lot of the Old Testament worship was involved with meals together, a lot of it as families. And so we want to bring people into our homes and share meals together. And let me ask you this. If you are doing that, how is the diversity of your hospitality? You know, how much of your hospitality is towards people that are different from you, different race, different ethnicity, different language, different background? Okay. How much is it, do we just invite over people that are like us? You know, we want to extend our hospitality. If we want to have diversity in the church, we need to have diversity in our hospitality. Because what that's going to prepare us to do is to relate better to those ethnic groups that are outside our church, which we also want to be having them into our homes. And not just the people that are like us, but we want to have the people that are not like us into our homes. That is how we're going to become even more diverse. How are we going to add to our diversity to become more reflective of our community, to add those groups that are not as well represented as they should be probably today? And you know, if you're in one of those less well represented ethnic groups, I hope you get invited to a lot of people's homes. You know, prepare to eat a lot of dinners. You know, that's a wonderful thing, because you're helping us when you do that. You're helping us to get to know how to relate to your ethnic group, and therefore how to reach out to them in our community. So fellowship and breaking of bread, we want to be doing that. And then prayer, devoted to prayer. You know, the things we're trying to do in the church, do you know that they're impossible? Do you know that evangelism is impossible for us to do? The Scriptures say that apart from me, you will do nothing. Steve referenced this earlier. We can't change a person's heart without God. Only God can change a heart. No one can come to me unless the Father draws him. So we need to be on our face praying to God, you know, for what we're trying to accomplish in our brothers and sisters, with our brothers and sisters, in our relationships with one another, that God can make those things happen. And so we need to be devoted to prayer, because God is the one who makes it happen. It's not something, you know, I think a lot of times in our natural selves, we far overestimate how much it depends on us. And we far underestimate how much it depends on God. And when we get to the point where we understand better how much it depends on God, we'll be devoted to prayer like that first century church. And when we do those things, we will be We will be the first century, the Acts 2 culture, and we will be more like the church that God wants us to be. Thank you very much.